This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you're listening to Beyond the Ballot Box with me, Dashrin Johan. In July, Fadlina Siddiq was elected as Ketua Wanita Keadilan or Chief of PKR's Women's Wing. Fadlina is an activist lawyer who is particularly passionate about issues concerning gender equality and equity. Despite only joining the party 2 years ago, Fadlina has been a supporter of PKR for a very long time now, and her dad, Siddiq Fazil, was the former president of ABIM and a close confidant of Anwar Ibrahim. She joins me on the show today to share her journey in politics, what she plans to do differently as the chief of PKR's Women's Wing, and their plans for GE15. Welcome to the show, Fadlina. So you've been recently elected as Ketua Wanita Keadilan. How are you feeling about it?
Good. Thank you for having me today. I think, first of all, it was a great, amazing and very challenging journey. I'm already part of the Reform Party to make Malaysia a better place for everyone. So here I am, the Reform Party, and now the Ketua Wanita Keadilan. Thank you for asking.
But let's backtrack a little bit, right, Fadlina? Why did you decide to contest in the PKR elections in the first place? Why now specifically?
Well, actually, initially, I have no intention at all to contest. Mm. No intention at all. I was really aware that and very conscious and much realistic at that time. I was still new in the party. But there's a great and dynamic demands, Darshan, from the grassroots and the party leaders that I should contest and give my best shot for the party election. So, I did go for the election.
Right.
But I didn't go for nothing. I had my team, I had my manifesto, and I went through all the process, and I won. It's actually very shocking. But yeah, miracle did happen. So yeah, here I am again as Ketua Wanita Keadilan. So initially, there's no intention, but I think it was the right moment with the full support from the grassroots and the party leaders. And actually, there's a vacuum in the leadership, women's leadership at that time.
Right.
So I thought that that would be a good opportunity for me to fulfill the vacuum. And yeah, alhamdulillah, I won. And now I'm leading the Women's Wing for Keadilan.
For many political observers, probably the result wouldn't have been a shock, right? Because you are one of the bright candidates that many people were keeping their eye on. Absolutely.
It was quite shocking for me because I thought, I didn't go with the mentality to win. I was just there, I mean, just to give my best shot and with my manifesto just to, you know, just to test whether I'm qualified enough for the party election. But yeah,
you mentioned that it was the right time because the grassroots members were pushing for it and there was this void in the leadership at the Women's Wing. What caused this void? Is it Blanca Sheraton?
Yeah. I think that's the biggest reason why they feel that I should be and contest in the party election because of the Blanca Sheraton. So we need to fill in the vacuum as much as possible, it was the decision made because of that, partly because of that.
Right. So can you bring me back to Blanca Sheraton? Because you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you have been someone who has been at least closely associated with PKR for many, many years. When Blanca Sheraton happened, you were watching from the sidelines, essentially.
Yeah.
What does that day, Blanca Sheraton day, mean to you?
I was so geram at that time. I was so geram. And then I think after the Blanca Sheraton, I didn't take much time to decide. And on the 4th of July, on the same year, I joined PKR. So I think when I joined PKR, I thought that slightly I can contribute to the party as an activist, right. And to actually to at least to establish a good and a solid leadership. But again, I think not long after that, I was appointed as the Senator of Dewan Negara, Member of Parliament, and then the party election was already took place. So yeah, it means a lot to me. I mean, PKR has been very close, very close to my heart, because I've been we call it someone from outside the party,
right.
To support the party from outside from the beginning. So when I joined the party, it was really an honor to serve the party, especially with the current leadership. And then we actually went through the struggle after the Langkah Sheraton to consolidate the party members, you know, to convince them this is the this is a real struggle, and we should move on with the new party leadership, especially after the party election. So, alhamdulillah, I think we are doing well now, and we are all ready for the GE15.
Where does your interest in politics stem from? Because yes, you only officially joined a political party about 2 years plus now, but prior to that, you've been an activist, you've been a political observer, you've even been a lawyer working on Anwar Ibrahim's cases over the years and things like that. Where does your interest in politics stem from?
I think it's not the interest in politics, Darsh. I think it's more on the interest in democracy process,
right.
in Malaysia. As an activist, I think... it's very important for me to participate and contribute to the democracy process. So after 20 years, I mean, in my comfort zone as an activist, I have this, how can I contribute more to the country? So, I joined the party, but it's not enough. I think, I can do more, I think. And then when the party, they choose me to represent as the senator, I think that's the climax of the democracy that I trust and begin with. I think I contribute more on that after seeing all this struggle, and to be as the policymaker, I think is the... it's another challenge, but I think it starts from the democracy process that I really trust and convince that this is the real conviction.
Where did your interest in activism stem from then? What propelled you to become an activist? Because I think you've been doing this for easily more than a decade. What propelled you to become an activist?
Well, I think... it starts from I'm a law student,
Dash,
and the 1998 Reformasi started in 1998. I was during my first year in International Islamic University, so I was there watching, experience all these Reformasi with this judicial conflict, with this justice system, with the misuse of institution, and the biggest part was the people's power. During that time, from 1998 until I graduated in 2001, I think I developed this sentimental value with the people's power. And then I began my practice. That's where I think I already obsessed. I call it obsessed with social justice. I've been, involved a lot with the Reformasi, and then during my practice, it's really hit me there. I think with these social justice issues. And then after I started my practice, I was really into the activism with women and children issues. With my professionalism as a Sharia lawyer, I deal with women's issues every day, Dash, every day, right, without fail. So I think, yeah, that's where I developed the activism with my NGOs, various NGOs. To put it more very practical approach in understanding the activism, I had my own shelter homes. I have my own helpline for mental health and transit home for domestic violence. So that's how it begins. I mean, with 1998, and then in so indulged with the women and children issues, now as the policymaker. So that's how I started, and hopefully, Darsh, we will go further one day to see whether my activism and my contribution to in the party can lead for a better Malaysia, inshallah.
On the show with me today is Fadlina Sidek, chief of PKR Women's Wing. After the break, I ask her about her GE15 plans. Keep it here on Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Beyond the Ballot Box. I'm Dashan Johan. And on the show with me today is Fadlina Sidek, chief of PKR Women's Wing. And we're talking about her journey in politics and her plans for GE15. So, Fadlina, who are some of the politicians you look up to, especially when you were growing up? It can either be local or international.
Well, it's quite a tough question because I always look up for so many politicians. Right. I mean, I grew up watching Anwar Ibrahim. That would be the biggest influencer, I think, in my entire career.
Right.
and then, of course, his wife, Dato' Sri Wan Aziza, and then the daughter, a good friend of mine now, Wabi Nur Izzah, and the current leadership. I think, Dash, I think I have to put it that way. The current leadership of PKR, the young, energetic, dynamic. I mean, we have now our vice president Rafizi, and all these our vice presidents. Yeah, the young vice president, and then the grassroots leaders actually now really inspired me a lot. They work really hard at the grassroots level, Dash, to serve the people and to make sure everyone is there to be looked after, and they really care for the people. Yeah, so it's not just about we are not talking about just a political figure, but also the community leaders that actually inspired me a lot.
You brought up Rafizi Ramli. You know, he secured the deputy president post recently at PKR.
Yeah, yeah.
And overall, PKR is going through a sort of soft reset after Lanka Sheraton because there was a huge void in the leadership. So when we zoom in on the women's wing specifically, what are you going to do differently as Ketua Wanita Keadilan?
Yeah, I think I've been quite lucky to lead the Wanita PKR during this term. Number one, because the message after the party election was to consolidate. So, yeah, the message was very clear to consolidate. And number two is to have a strong and united team for GE election.
Right.
And my focus would be on more on training, preparation for the women's candidates for the election, and then to tackle more issues, especially for women, children, community, and the national issues overall, and to focus more on service to the rakyat, Dash. I think this is more important. I mean, gearing up towards GE15 service. Your visibility during more things for the rakyat is very important now. Yeah.
What are some of the issues that you're most passionate about and you're looking to champion, especially now that you are on the front lines of politics?
Yeah, I've been speaking a lot in the Dewan Negara, actually, on gender issues,
right.
Gender-based violence, mental health, human rights, and then Currently, I'm did a lot of reading on climate change and gender dimension. So I think those issues are still important and still, my forte for quite a long time. So I'm really comfortable with that issue. But at the same time, I think, I'm preparing my wanita for the next election. And I think to put it as the government waiting, I think we should also involve in the national issues, LCS, and then some economic issues as well. So, yeah, I'm still, very comfortable with my forte for now, Dash.
Right.
Hopefully, I can do more better with these issues, inshallah, for the future.
Absolutely. Now, you brought up gender issues, right? And human rights. Why is this cause, especially when it comes to, let's say, gender equality, equity, women's rights, and all of that? Mm. Why are you passionate about this cause?
Yeah, I think the idea of gender mainstreaming is already a policy in our two states.
Right.
In Selangor and Penang under Pakatan Harapan. So, whether we like it or not, it's already there. It's part of the policy, and I think we did so well with the policy and mainstream it in a very effective way. And in some programs, we are looking at it as not just a policy, but also to have it as part of the struggle to make sure that it's not just the purpose of papers, policy papers, but to have everyone on the same page. I think, Darsh, when we actually passed the anti-sexual harassment act, there's a big concern on the understanding of gender issues.
Right.
When we pass the law, we actually having a great struggle to have more awareness program on that issues. So I think it's not just about gender, it's not about just woman issues, but also how we actually struggle to have everyone on the same page talking about rights, talking about equality, and no discrimination at all. Yeah, so that's how I look at that way.
I want to ask you another question about the PKR elections, just so people can get a better understanding of how you are approaching politics and so on and so forth. Because during the PKR elections, largely it was divided into two camps. It's either you are...
Yeah.
You know, gang Rafizi or your gang Saifuddin. But then what you decided to do is you just decided to go solo in that sense.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to take this approach?
Well, it's really hard actually not to go without gangs or chai, you know.
Yeah.
It's really hard because number one, I'm so new in the party. Number two, I don't have many grassroots yet at that time. Number three, I'm a senator, so I don't have my own kawasan territory like other people. And number four, it's really hard to go and to choose that way. But when I decide to do that, it was purely under the notion that, or under the motion that we shouldn't compromise, you know, on some extent that there will be pro and cons when you choose for the team.
Right.
Well, actually, at the end of the day, you should be whether you are this team or that team, yeah? At the end of the day, there's some inclination towards that. But during the campaign, I was really, really focused that I should go on merit. That the members should judge me, choose me for my credentials and for my merit, not because of the choice. Because I'm afraid that when you actually promote the idea of having camps and chais, you know, then your members, they would really have the idea that, oh, no matter how good you are, you know, because of the camp, because of the camp and the chais, you would rather choose the camp, not the good
right,
person,
right.
The most credible person to lead the party.
Right.
So that was really, I mean, my conscience during the campaign. Yeah.
Right. Fadina, I want to ask you, right, recently there's been a lot of push for more women's voices, women representation in parliament, for example, push for women to take up more prominent roles within political parties, which I think is a very progressive and right step forward. But I want to get your thoughts. What do you think is the importance of women voices in politics?
I have my utmost respect for the woman politician.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by partisan dash, I think I have utmost respect for them. I mean, being a woman politician, I think we share the same struggles.
Mm-hmm.
We share the same concern. We share the same, our future ecosystem
right.
that we are really look forward to change. I mean, yeah. Now we have only 13% in the Dewan Rakyat.
Right.
Only 11%, 9 to 11% in Dewan Negara. So that's how we actually concern on our voice and our struggle. So there should be a change in future, I hope. Number one, with the ecosystem. You see, our ecosystem is quite patriarchal in many ways. I
mm-hmm.
mean, in politics as well, in the party as well. The structure
right.
of the party should we change as well in the future to make sure that we have our own merit system to be acknowledged in the party, not just for the wings, you know. I think sometimes the wings are not really effective and not really really up to that standard to mainstream the female leaders.
Right.
I think number three is that moving forward, the bipartisan ecosystem, for the women leaders, should be more consistent and consolidate, especially on women issues. I think the current leadership, especially the government, representing the woman's voice. I'm not that friendly with others, especially on issues, on bipartisan issues. We had so many issues, Dash. We had on the citizenship, on sexual harassment. We should go bipartisan in these issues and showing the force that the women leaders are here to support these issues. But, you know, that's quite not really. we didn't show it really in an effective
mm-hmm.
manner to the public.
Right.
To show that we are in solidarity with some issues and so on. So I hope that in the future, and I'm ready. On behalf of Pakatan Harapan and Keadilan, actually we are ready to lead the issues. But without the bipartisan segment, it's quite hard to show that how we actually move forward as a woman leaders in the country. So yeah, I think bipartisan is a great way to show that women voices are very important in politics.
Speaking of moving forward, there's a lot of rumblings that GE15 is just around the corner. Many are saying that it could be as early as October or November this year. Let's talk a little bit about what PKR is doing currently. What are the discussions happening now at PKR? What is PKR focused on, especially since I have you on with me, especially what's going on in the women's wing too? What are y'all focused on?
There are so many things going on, Dash. But I guarantee you, we are really working hard for the election. We are the government in waiting. I tell you, we are working harder this time. We are ready to serve the rakyat. We are just waiting for the call. And once the GE15 I mean, they announced it. Yeah, we are ready for it. So there's so many things going on, but yeah, we are ready.
And can you share if you will be contesting as an MP in the upcoming elections?
Absolutely, I'll be contesting, inshallah. So it's just that the matter of which seat. So yeah, I'll be contesting. Sure.
Fantastic. And on that note, thank you so much for joining me today.
Wish me luck. Thank you. Thank you for having me as well.
That was Fadlina Siddiq, Chief of PKR's Women's Wing. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can also check out our podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcast from. I'm Dashrin Johan, and this has been Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.